Kitsap County Planning Commission. Thank you to everyone that is able to join us this evening. Before we begin this evening's proceedings, I'd like to remind everyone that this is an official meeting of the Kitsap County Planning Commission, conducted in accordance with the Washington State Open Public Meetings Act and Robert's Rules of Order. We ask that all attendees remain respectful throughout the proceedings. Please refrain from any behavior that may make it difficult for others to hear or follow the discussion. These proceedings are intended to provide a fair and orderly opportunity for all voices to be heard on the record. If disruptions occur, any planning commissioner may call for order and the chair may ask for a break. Thank you for helping us maintain a courteous, respectful, and professional environment. And the first item tonight will be introductions. I'm going to start online. Commissioner Bowen, will you kick us off?
Good evening, Tammy Bowen, North Kitsap.
Thank you. Commissioner Fenner?
Dan Fenner, Central Kitsap.
Thank you.
David Vliet, North Kitsap.
Ryan Wixon, Central Kitsap.
Ashley Hall, South Kitsap.
Caleb Nelson, South Kitsap.
Danielle Douthit, South Kitsap.
All right. The next item on our agenda is our meeting protocol. Please silence all electronic devices during the meeting. If you are attending in person, please refrain from having conversations with other attendees or staff during the meeting. If you wish to provide comments, please wait until the general public comment period. We offer four methods for public comment. For in-person attendees, please raise your hand if you wish to speak and you will be called upon. Please approach the podium and speak clearly into the microphone. For virtual attendees, use the raise hand button at the bottom of the Zoom window at the appropriate time. Your name will be called and your microphone will be unmuted. For our call-in attendees, please press star 9 on your phone keypad to signal that you wish to comment. The last four digits of your phone number will be announced and you'll be connected. You may need to press star 6 to unmute your line. For written comments or testimony, written comments may be submitted to staff or emailed to cjewel@kitsap.gov by 2 p.m. on the day prior to the meeting. Please include the meeting date, your name, and the agenda item and or subject you're addressing. Submitted comments will be entered into the record at the appropriate time. For all speakers, please state your name and the general area in which you live. Comments are normally limited to 2 minutes for general public comment and 3 minutes for public hearing comments. These time limits may be adjusted by the chair when appropriate. The next item on our agenda is the adoption of the agenda. Do I hear a motion to adopt the agenda?
I move to adopt the agenda as presented.
I second.
Are there any corrections or additions to the agenda? All right, hearing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda as presented, please raise your hand. All right, all in favor, motion passes. All right, and our next item is the next item on the agenda is the adoption of the previous meeting minutes. Do I hear a motion to adopt the meeting minutes from the 4-7-2026 meeting?
I move to adopt the minutes from the 4-21-26 meeting.
Oh, apologies. 4-21-26. Thank you.
Second.
Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes? All right. Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes as presented, please raise your hand. All right, it's unanimous, so the motion passes. All right, this is going to bring us to our first general public comment period. Do we have anyone in the room that's wishing to speak this evening? No. All right, seeing none, and do we have anybody online? Yes, okay.
Yes, we have Mr. Palmer.
Mr. Palmer?
Thank you for the opportunity to comment. My comment pertains to agenda item A, briefing rural lands analysis and salmon recovery in local planning. My question that I hope can be addressed by the presenter is, to what degree do the Kitsap County roads and their runoff affect salmon? I can remember a study done several years ago I think it was by the University of Washington and authorized by the one or more of the tribes of Kitsap County, that road runoff was more deleterious to salmon than practically anything else. So I'm wondering if the study addresses that issue at all. I'll close my comments for now.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. All right. I don't see anyone else online for public comment. Again, just want to ask the room, is there anyone in the room? Yes, ma'am, please come forward. And then will you just, you'll push the little button, and then would you state your name, the general area that you live in, and then your comment? Oh, 1 second. It should light up red.
Thank you.
There we go. It takes a village. Thank you.
No, that's no problem. Hi, my name's Debbie Walsh, and I live at 1493 Beach Drive, Port Orchard. What I wanted to bring to the commissioner's attention is that in Jackson Park, I walk there a lot with my dog, and I think it's really cool that we have all the availability for everybody to do things, you know, the play area, the skating park, the baseball, so forth. What I have noticed over the past probably at least 6 months now, there's a group of young, I would say they're minors, that are riding their electric dirt bikes or electric bikes, and they're riding them in the baseball area, as well as in the soccer area. And I noticed that there is no sign that says that they should not be on that area. So when confronted, which I did, okay, plain and simple, I said, you know, hey, you're, by doing that, because there was a group of four, and I've seen this group of four many times, that they were doing wheelies, the whole bit and everything, having a great time. But it's on the grass, and that grass is already having problems because of, I think, the beetles that is eating up on it. So as well as those kids are riding their dirt bikes in the walk areas. So I would like to have you guys take a look at that and maybe address it by just changing the sign, see if that helps to say, hey, no motorized electric vehicles on walkways as well as trails. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Walsh. Thank you for your comment. Thank you.
Can I say something for housekeeping, just so she understands?
Oh, please.
We're not allowed to do question and answers as part of the public comment, but there is an opportunity called C-Click Fix through the county that you can submit a concern through, and they will probably respond to you with maybe a solution, as well as maybe emailing Katie Walters, the District 3 County Commissioners, with your concern as well.
Okay, thank you.
We're not allowed to do question answer, but I didn't want you to feel like we're not listening.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that resource, Ryan. Absolutely. Yeah, that's under the Parks Department page on our county website. Thank you, Ms. Walsh. All right. And no other speakers online. If there are no additional speakers, I'll close the first general public comment period. The next item on our agenda is a briefing on the rural lands analysis and salmon recovery and local planning by DCD long-range planners Jason Walsh and our long-range intern Dahlia Barber. Oh, is that not? Okay, and Heather Cleveland. Thank you so much, Heather.
Good evening, Planning Commission. Thank you for having me this evening. My name is Heather Cleveland, long-range planner with the Department of Community Development. I'm here to update you on the rural lands analysis, and we're weaving in with some good updates on the salmon recovery and local planning portion of this project. Presenting along with me will be my colleagues Jason Walsh and Dahlia Barber.
This is what we'll cover today, purpose and background. We've gone over this, so we consolidated a little bit, but just the purpose and background, what's the origin of this rural lands analysis, go into more detail on the Salmon Recovery and Local Planning Grant and the progress that we've made on that. Also the charter and the community engagement plan, along with our progress on the project and then next steps. So the project purpose and background, and we're weaving in the salmon recovery and local planning through this, so you'll kind of see those colors woven in because we do want this to be one project with a focus area. So the purpose of this is to evaluate the rural lands. This came out of the comprehensive plan, which was adopted in December of 2024, and then the year of the rural, that was a focus in 2025. In doing that work, we realized the lack of specific data and analyses of the rural areas. So that's what prompted this project. Along with that, we applied for a grant, and that was from the Department of Commerce. We learned that we won that grant at the end of 2025, December of 2025, and then we've been working to lift that up ever since, and we've made some great progress since the last time, so we're happy to give that update. So this is about the Growth Management Act. So as it relates to comprehensive planning, when we're doing a comprehensive plan, we're focused on population, employment, and housing. And then when we look at the rural and resource lands, we're looking for more data as it relates to that. So this is a report and a study that could inform future comprehensive plans, similar to how the buildable lands report and the land capacity analysis does just that for urban growth areas. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to my colleague to talk more about the salmon recovery and then other components of the project that we've made progress on.
Thank you, Heather. Good evening, commissioners. My name is Jason Robert Walsh. I am a long-range planner here and the project manager for the Salmon Recovery and Local Planning Project, which, as Heather stated, is nested within the rural lands analysis work. So I'm going to give them a little bit more detail on the purpose and background of the salmon recovery and local planning component. So first of all, within the rural lands analysis, the Salmon Recovery and Local Planning Project will identify strategies for local salmon recovery plans that intersect with land use planning and policy implementation within the county. By linking the goals of salmon recovery with the county's long-range planning framework, this effort will strengthen the alignment between ecological health, rural character, and community resilience. So as development pressures increase, the county faces growing challenges in balancing growth with the protection of rural and resource lands. In particular, gaps remain clearly prioritized conservation and preservation areas, along with limited tools to effectively safeguard ecological functions, while accommodating development. The Salmon Recovery and Local Planning Project is a component of the broader rural lands analysis, as we've already discussed, and it focuses on integrating salmon recovery goals, strategies, and priorities into local land use planning to strengthen ecological health, rural character, and long-term community resilience. So building on prior efforts, such as natural asset management and stream mapping updates, this work will provide a salmon recovery report that strengthens the scientific and policy foundations for rural land development, ensuring that comprehensive planning aligns with both Growth Management Act objectives and salmon recovery priorities. Yeah, just a little bit of a delay. You warned me about that. Thanks. Basically introducing the individuals and other components of the team here, myself. I actually have been with the county now for a little over a year and 8 months. I started with the current planning team. I have a background in a master's in urban planning and public health, came on with the county and have been working as a current planner for, like I said, about 1 year and 7 months. Became aware of this particular opportunity to make the leap over into long-range planning and to work specifically in this restoration project and was stoked. So I applied and was appointed in April 20th of this year and have been sprinting ever since. Also working on this project is our program technician, Daria Etching. She will be handling community outreach and engagement. Dahlia Barber is our planning intern here from Western Washington University. She will speak later more in detail about herself. We also are working with a consultant called Environmental Science Associates. And as part of that, we have, as my colleague Heather stated earlier, we have completed our grant contract with the Washington State Department of Commerce. That was finalized and signed at the end of March. And we also completed our contract with the consultant, ESA. That was authorized and finaled in the end of April. Okay. So speaking more in detail about ESA, or Environmental Science Associates, we contracted with them to provide technical, analytical, and coordination support for the Rural Lands Analysis and Salmon Recovery and Local Planning Project. Their work is to integrate salmon recovery plans, compile, document existing data sets, and assess trends, opportunities, and constraints affecting rural and resource lands. ESA will complete a salmon recovery review and an existing data inventory. They're going to complete a rural lands analysis, help manage technical engagement, and produce the final deliverable, which is the salmon recovery report. And now I'd like to introduce my colleague, Dahlia Barber.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Dahlia. I am an intern for the HICO 2 Western Washington. this is my senior year, and I will be graduating in June, so next month. I'm currently taking just two classes, but they are very related, Natural History of the Pacific Northwest and Native American Planning and Natural Resource Policy. My major is in Natural Resource Policy, and I would love to learn more about just how to get a project like this off the ground, how everything works for the county and the local governments, and just learn more about the administrative process that you go through here. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So next, the charter is the guiding document, provides us with the purpose, the goals, and how we're going to actually get there. So first and foremost, our approach, as you can see up here listed on this slide, is the project is going to be completed through a phased and iterative approach that integrates technical analysis, policy review, and engagement. The key components will include an inventory and evaluation of existing data, plans and regulations, as already referred to in describing the contract of ESA's scope of work, the development of a rural lands analysis framework comparable in rigor to the county's land capacity analysis, but tailored to rural conditions, identification of trends, constraints, opportunities, and policy implications, ongoing engagement and education to inform analysis and decision-making, iterative review with internal staff and advisory bodies. The approach emphasizes transparency, consistency with adopted policy, and alignment between analysis, recommendations, and implementation tools. In the deliverables category, we're going to see that we have, I'll give a description, a brief description of each of the deliverables listed before you. The first being exist a data inventory and technical memorandum. The inventory and review of existing data, plans, reports, and regulations related to rural and resource lands is in the form of a memorandum that will summarize key findings, identify gaps, and establish a consistent baseline for analysis. The next one, next deliverable is a rural lands analysis report and framework. It's a comprehensive rural lands analysis comparable in purpose and rigor to the land capacity analysis, tailored to rural and land use patterns, policies, and infrastructure considerations. The framework will guide evaluation of rural land distribution, development trends, resource lands, and rural character considerations. Next is the Rural Lands Report. It's a synthesized report translating technical analysis into findings, conclusions, and policy-relevant recommendations. The report will support future updates to the Rural and Resource Lands Chapter, Rural Land Use Reclassification Review, and potential code updates. The next is Engagement and Education. Ongoing engagement and education conducted throughout the project to inform our analysis, refine recommendations, and improve understanding of rural planning issues. Specific and tailored to the Salmon Recovery and Local Planning Project is in alignment with the Rural Lands Analysis deliverables, being a component of that being focused on salmon recovery and local planning, and that are part of the grant awarded to us by the Washington State Department of Commerce. So as a component of this is our community engagement plan. So to ensure an inclusive and well-rounded assessment, county staff will engage with residents, community groups, businesses, and tribes throughout Kitsap County. The purpose is to inform, involve, and gather input from the public to prepare the rural lands analysis and salmon recovery and local planning projects. This effort will provide, provide essential insights for planning and policy decisions, identify potential barriers, and propose improvements to inform the county's policies, goals, and strategies. The primary aim is to plan to establish, I don't know if any of you watched the Mariners game last night, but I went and I screamed quite a bit, so sorry. I mean, it was an awesome game. Okay, sorry. The primary aim of this plan is to establish a unified community engagement approach for the rural lands analysis. This includes defining community engagement goals, identifying key stakeholders, and developing a comprehensive communication strategy with a clear schedule. The plan ensures continuous, early engagement and outreach throughout the project, and the outreach process will be carried out in four phases. Phase number one is awareness. This phase focuses on making information accessible and meaningful through the website, reports, and data sharing while connecting salmon recovery concepts with land use. Speaking of those components, we already have our website. It is live. It is in the process of being filled out and completed. And we will actually have our initial awareness or outreach activity with the community in the form of an open house in July. Phase two is feedback and discussion. This phase is about structured dialogue with both Salmon Recovery Technical Advisory Committee and a broader technical group. Phase three is the framework development. This is where engagement narrows to working sessions that clarify what will be evaluated and how. And the final phase, phase four, is the recommendation development. This phase will use data, mapping policies, and program insights to develop actionable recommendations. So the progress as of this point, we have had our first two meetings with the consultant at ESA. We have discussed our programmatic norms, communication policies and practices, and moving forward on our initial deliverable, which is task two. This is developing a data inventory and plan set. So the salmon recovery team, which you see up there listed as a salmon recovery team meeting, that is our technical advisory committee, which is made up of two different bodies here that operate here in Kitsap County, the Hood Canal Coordinating Council and WSCR, West Sound Ecosystem Recovery Partners. I apologize, that's the one thing I did not write down and take notes on. Shouldn't always rely on acronyms and abbreviations. So those two are the two principal bodies that make up our Salmon Recovery Technical Advisory Committee. They will help advise us moving forward on the plan selection and plan analysis. So we've started the ESA meeting, which is going to be the primary consultant in conducting the plan compilation and analysis, and we are going to have regularly occurring meetings moving forward. The plans themselves, we are already developing a database, and we have a workbook that is currently segmented by geographies, plan relevance, its overlap with rural lands analysis, and its specificity as it focuses on salmon recovery and local planning. The data set is going to be developed later, and that those two components right there are going to be the foundation upon which we conduct our analysis and then build our further recommendations as the project progresses. Next steps, I will hand back to my colleague, Heather.
Thank you, Jason. So next steps, meeting and organizing. So this is where we're building the foundation, the outreach, and connecting. So the Agricultural Advisory Council, we're really grateful that that was established in 2026. So we will work with them or alongside them or share information as we move forward. A forestry working group. Hasn't been established. A forestry advisory council was also a recommendation, but that did not move forward. But we'll be organizing a forestry working group to have a limited number of meetings with bumpers relating to the rural lands analysis. And we are going to take kind of the structure that we had laid out as part of the Year of the Rural, and we'll be partnering with the Parks Department on that. Technical advisory committee, I was asked, you know, when we were talking with the salmon recovery team, is this a technical or is this policy? And I think, oh, it's going to be a little bit of both because they'll inform each other. So both will be part of that, and it will be a cross-section of all, you know, rural topics and not just focused on salmon. It will be the group that kind of lifts everything up. And then, of course, an internal review team. Sometimes when we're working with internal review teams, it could be more keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening. Sometimes it can level up and move on in a different direction. An example of that is with our Parks Department or with Public Works. Is there something in here that could move in its own way? But at minimum, making sure that our colleagues in our different departments across Kitsap County are aware of the project and the work that we're doing, and we can have a back and forth dialogue. So those meetings and organizing of those all is in progress right now. Engagement, as Jason had mentioned, our project webpage is up and running, so we'll have future engagement opportunities listed there. You can look historical. We'll have project documents there. Eventually, we'll have the inventory and the list of plans that we're reviewing all posted on that webpage, so folks can follow along there. We are in early July looking to schedule our open house event. So this is a way to, raise awareness, get feedback, and we'll have a survey along with that. And then the tribal coordination meetings are scheduled throughout the year. It's something that we do regularly, but this topic will be a part of those meetings. And actually, it was really neat. The Sklallam tribe also received the Salmon Recovery and Local Planning Grant. They have a very different scope of work. Ours is related to long-range planning. Theirs is more related to current planning and permitting and SEPA and other things. So we're going to kind of keep in touch and work side by side and present together and acknowledging that it's very complementary. And then plan and data, so inventory and evaluation. So that is underway right now. We do want to set a good foundation for this, not only with the salmon recovery, but also with the significant amount of data that we already have in front of us as it relates to rural lands. And what are we going to do with that next? And I will say the analysis framework is also an important part of this. What exactly are we going to look at? What is the questions we're trying to answer? Because you can have lots and lots of data, but what are we looking at is something, that framework that we'll be working on over the next several months. Our next, we scheduled quarterly updates with the Planning Commission. So our next time to present to you will be August 18th, and we'll look forward to presenting our progress on this project. And then the project leads on this are myself and Jason. So if you have any follow-up questions, please feel free to reach out to us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Heather. Do any of my fellow commissioners have any questions or comments for Heather, Jason, or Dahlia? Nobody here? Anybody online? I do. And forgive me if this was mentioned initially when the grant was awarded. Is there a timeline that's tied to this grant? Like, does something need to be within a year?
Thank you for asking. Yes, the grant ends end of June of 2027.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, mm-hmm. That's beautiful. So you have a little something to reverse engineer backwards.
We do, absolutely. Okay. And the grant has these very specific deliverables, which, mm-hmm. It came out of the rural lands analysis, but it keeps us on the specific timeline to we have to do these things. So some of the work related to the rural lands analysis could continue after that, but yes, the salmon recovery and local planning, that part of the grant ends at the end of June of 2027.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, go ahead, Ryan.
Just want to thank all you guys for your work and congratulate Dahlia on her upcoming graduation.
Yeah, I second that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so very much, Heather. Okay. All right. Thank you. All righty. And that is going to lead us into our next item for this evening, which is a briefing on our admin code updates by our DCD long-range planner, April Glassman. Thank you so much, April.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for having me here. My name is April Glassman. I'm the new long-range planner here at DCD. I started at the beginning of April. And today I'm going to be talking to you about our annual administrative code updates and edits that we'd like to propose to you today. Try it again. Oh, there we go. Thank you. So DCD tries to do these administrative code updates on an annual basis. The purpose of them are to be very quick through the adoption process. We're not intending to change any meaning behind any existing code at all. We're not proposing any additional regulations. It's just supposed to be some quick fixes and some incorporations of existing directors' interpretations. So the objectives for for this year's code updates are to eliminate or reduce conflicting provisions of code, to add clarity without changing the meaning or intent, to create more predictability and certainty in development standards and permit review process, create an efficient system to catalog and organize previous and new code edits initiated by county staff or the public, and to codify a couple of directors' interpretations. The timeline for this is pretty quick to reflect the administrative nature of this project. So I'm here with you today to give you a briefing. We anticipate SEPA to be posted in the newspaper sometime next week. I'll be back at the beginning of June to do a work study with you all to go through all the proposed updates and edits, where you'll see the draft ordinance, and that will be followed quickly by a public hearing that we're proposing for the June 16th meeting at this time. Then in July, we're hoping to do the finding of fact, and then I go away on vacation. So at the end of August, we'll be bringing this process to the Board of County Commissioners for a briefing and work study, another public hearing with them. We'll post the 60-day notice of intent to adopt with Commerce, and hopefully have a full adoption by October. So the proposed edits are listed here. These are the 8 currently proposed administrative edits. There may be one more coming towards the work study. Scott Diner is currently working on that one, and that is not reflected here in today's presentation. And these are the 2 directors' interpretations that we are hoping to incorporate and codify through this process. The first one is regarding cell towers, and the second one is regarding the replacement of non-conforming homes. So this is one of our most straightforward ones. We want to add a comma to this section of code after the word worship. So fairly straightforward. Here in the definition of multiple families, we'd like to add side-by-side units as part of the definition, because multiple family homes aren't necessarily always stacked one on top of each other. As code currently says, it can also include townhomes. We are proposing to remove the entire master planning chapter. It has not been used since adopted. We have reached out to the KBA and haven't heard back as of yet. And we'll continue to reach out to them to see if they have any concerns about the removal of this chapter. But like I said, it has not been used, so we are proposing to completely remove the chapter. Recently, the tree canopy requirements were updated, and there was a couple of things that need to be added just to keep consistency. The first one is being clear that the tree canopy requirements are applicable to commercial uses. So we are proposing to add that language here at the very beginning of the section. And I apologize for not including the full section. It is 17.495.020. And I will add that to the next round for it to be more clear. And the applicability to commercial uses is included in this section, but it's further down. So we just wanted to move it up so it was clear from the get-go that this does apply to commercial uses. The next is an error that we are correcting in the tree canopy deciduous tree credit update. In a footnote, it currently says that 6 deciduous trees need to be replaced, and it's actually just 3. So we're just updating that to be clear and consistent. We want to add a definition for sign face. We currently don't have one. And we want to clarify the definition of a building site in the Title 21 and Section 21.02.085 to clarify that critical area buffers except as reduced through the reduction per the critical area ordinance is not part of a building site. There is an incorrect reference in Section 22.400.135. The current reference right now is supposed to reflect a water-oriented storage, and it's actually regarding a boat launch. And so we are changing that from D1E to D1F, which does reference water-oriented storage. Getting into the director's interpretations, there's currently some RCW out there that regarding cell towers and land division. We're working with current planning on developing language for this. Not 100% sure right now if it'll be in chapter 16 or a different chapter, but still waiting to work with Darren on that from current planning, when that language should be ready and available to you during the work study. The final proposed director's interpretation is a replacement of certain non-conforming homes. This is in relation to replacing particularly mobile homes that can be, particularly the older ones, it can be difficult to replace mobile homes that are older because they're smaller in size. So the current standing director's interpretation allows for a 10% increase in size if they meet the variance criteria, and we just want to codify that. The proposed language right now is up there, and we're currently collaborating with leadership to refine this language, and we'll bring you more refined language during the work study. So like I said, we want to get moving these through pretty quickly. So the work study is planned for June 2nd. We'll come back and we can really dig into all of these and refine them as needed. We want to propose a public hearing on June 16th with finding of fact on July 7th. We do have a webpage that's posted that will provide all updates and everything, and this is my contact information if you have any questions.
Thank you so much, April. Really appreciate it. And thank you for the presentation today. Yep. Do any of my fellow commissioners have any comments or questions? Go ahead, Ryan.
Is this an appropriate time to make comments on code, or would that be better suited for a later meeting?
We're having our next meeting would be a work study, and that's where we kind of really beat up everything. Okay. This is okay. Just her just saying, hey, we're about to have a conversation about sure. This.
Thank you for your presentation and welcome yeah. To the county.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Go ahead.
Hopefully this is in the bounds of what you just said before. But if it's not, so are you reaching out to anybody else with regards to the 17.440 master planning aspect besides that one organization that you
yes.
Mentioned? Because yeah. it just seems like a lot of work went into creating that, and it looks, upon my review, looks like a pretty good document. So I'm not quite sure why we're getting rid of the whole thing.
Okay. Yeah, so the entire project is going out, or has gone out, through Gov Delivery to the code updates list. And with SEPA, the SEPA notice is going out hopefully sometime next week in the newspaper. And that will kick off that 14-day comment period as well. At this time, I don't know if we've identified any other specific groups, particularly pertaining to the master planning chapter. But if there are other groups that you think we should directly reach out to, please let me know and we'll get that going right away.
And so is this, just so I'm aware, like, so when we're in future meetings, when we're discussing it, it's more about just the changes and not anything else in the paragraphs?
Correct, yes. So the anything that's underlined red is what we want to add, and anything that's striked out in red, we want to remove.
Right, and everything else is pretty much off limits for now until the next code review?
This the intentionality of this is not to change the intention or the meaning of this code. It's truly administrative.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the presentation.
Thank you.
Do any of my other fellow commissioners? Commissioner Fenner, please.
Yeah. What is the purpose of involving the Planning Commission, presenting to the Planning Commission what looks to be like housekeeping, add a comma, pull language that's further down in the document and reiterate it up above? I mean, I guess I appreciate being included in general, but how does it benefit you or the process?
It's part of the public process. You know, we're updating code. It needs to go through the general public process as any other code updates, even though it's still administrative. But that's why we're proposing the timeline pretty tight, just to keep it moving. Sir, do you want to add, Jim?
Yeah, I would just add that if there are any concerns of the Planning Commission about any of these code updates that you think might be controversial for any reason, that's why we want to bring it to you. So they are just administrative in nature, but we want to make sure that it at least gets some public review through you to make sure that there aren't any red flags in your minds before we move forward with them.
Thank you so much. I just want to echo on to that. I was fortunate to be a part of this process during my first year on the commission last year, and my understanding, at least, is why we're part of the public process is we're a representative of the public at large. And so it's, how does that read? Does it make sense? Is it communicating and clear an expectation? So sometimes having a misplaced comma or an interesting choice of words, I know that was something, sometimes it's just changing just a word. It might have the same definition, but it just reads better, interprets better to the public at large. And so that's always been my understanding, is why a huge part of why we're a part of this process as well, just for clarity of the room.
Yeah, and it's just a double check on our part to make sure we are not unintentionally changing the context of the code.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you so much, Jim. Do we have any other questions for April while we have her?
Just a quick point.
Go ahead.
Silverdale Water operates a lot of cell towers that they lease, and I'm sure there's a reason for the code update, but if you're looking for any additional information and real-world experience, maybe reaching out to them would be helpful for the code update.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. I do have just a curiosity question. How do you guys find these little things? Like, I really hope it's not just you just reading things all day. Is it just throughout the year these things come up, or?
Yeah, so it's my understanding that staff, particularly like current planning staff, catch a lot of these errors, and so there's a spreadsheet that staff can go online and submit for code changes at a wide breadth. So there's some code changes that have been proposed that are not part of this project because they're not administrative, so those we don't bring here for this kind of project. And then there's also the public can suggest code changes as well. And then, of course, the director's interpretations are separate. But
awesome. Thank you so much. I was just truly curious. Yeah, Thank you so much. It's great to have you on the planning team and have you here with us. So thank you, April.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good rest of your night. All righty. This is going to bring us to our second and final general public comment period. Do we have anyone wishing to speak? Anyone in the room? Seeing none. And going online, I apologize. Looking online, I don't see any public comment online. And if there are no speakers, I will close the second general public comment period. And we will now move into our last agenda item, which is for the good of the order. Do any of our commissioners have anything they wish to share? Nothing, anything online? All right, seeing none. All right, if there are no other items for tonight's meeting, I declare this meeting adjourned at 6:14 p.m. The next Planning Commission meeting is scheduled for June 2nd at 5:30 p.m. Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.